on the property of $60 a year. And in time, he bought 1632 and 1636 West Bolivar Street, two buildings on either side of the main building. And he remodeled this beautiful business into one large department store using all three floors. As far as my mother was concerned, she did instill in each child very good habits. My father also. And there would be 5 cups of salt water on the bathroom vanity for each one to gargle their throats, and he taught them cleanliness and beauty of life and proper nutrition, and he helped my mother in every way raising the children, and my mother helped him in raising his children as well as helping in the business. There was never a dull moment. Everybody was busy at all times, either studying their lessons or working for the business.
How did the parents raise the children in a Jewish way?
Well, the boys went to a Hebrew school on Stricker Street, and the rabbi taught them Hebrew. I didn't go to Hebrew school. I don't know why. I think my mother was really too busy to think about it. In those days, girls, it seemed as though didn't need that Hebrew education. But I would have loved to have gone. I'm sorry I didn't go. And then the boys all became bar mitzvahed in the home. The affairs were held in the home. Long tables were set up in the home, and people were invited, as many as 100 people, if not more. And we had beautiful bar mitzvahs. My father was as religious as his business could enable him to be. He couldn't go on Saturdays, but he'd always go Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to the Poppleton Street Synagogue. And later, when we moved in Forest Park, he went to the Beth Tfilah Synagogue. And he belonged there for many, many years. He still has plaques in the synagogue in his memory at the Beth Tfilah on Old Court Road today.
When you were children at home, what did the family do for entertainment?
There wasn't such a thing, really, as entertainment outside of the music on the Victrola. We didn't have radios or televisions in those days. We were grown up when the radio was invented. And there wasn't any games. There really wasn't. And it was listening to music or studying or working in our business.
My father had hay fever.
My father had hay fever. Every August the 15th, he had to leave for Atlantic City to be near the ocean air because he couldn't breathe in Baltimore due to the humidity. And his wife, my mother, and myself, and brothers would all run the business while he was away. During the winter months, he would rent an apartment in Miami Beach, Florida, and my mother and father, in later years, when they were on practically retired, they would go to Florida, rent an apartment, and the children would accompany them, meaning myself and my family, and we'd stay the entire winter. And Mr. Kramer would come down, drive us down, stay a few weeks, go back to Baltimore, run the business, and then come back in time to take us home. He belonged to the Temple Emmanuel on 18th and Washington Avenue in Miami Beach for many, many years. And in fact, there are 2 life seats there with his name on them at this temple, which is a very popular place and very beautiful. And he practically helped build it. In our day, as children, on Sundays, We would take a boat ride to Tolchester, which was a real treat, and have our lunch at a picnic table and enjoy the amusement park that was in Tolchester, go bathing, and we'd enjoy the day. Other times we'd go to Bay Shore Park and have a crab feast and enjoy the companionship of our friends and neighbors. And we'd also go to a friend's shore that they had near a waterfront. But this was only a pleasure on Sundays. I did have a habit when I was about 7 years old of going to my grandmother's home on every Saturday by a trolley car and ride alone to East Baltimore, Fayette and Eden Street, visit my grandmother on Saturday and Sunday, and my father and mother would come and pick me up and stay for dinner, for a family Sunday dinner, which was really a highlight. We'd also enjoy family dinners at my grandmother's on holidays, which is also a highlight. I can see my grandmother working very hard to make a beautiful dinner for our pleasure.
What kind of ethnic foods did she serve?
Oh, she served the most delicious noodle kugels and puddings, and she'd make these tagloch that everyone loved, and which I loved, and she'd make preserves out of orange peels and grapefruit peelings, and she'd always sit at the table with me and say, es mein Kind, because I was such a thin little girl. I was a 7-month baby, and they didn't expect me to live. But only a miracle kept me alive and their good care. And I'm glad to be here till this day. I do also want to point out a very important fact, that if my father's aunt in Philadelphia hadn't sent a ticket for him to come to America, we might have all been born and raised in Lithuania and been in the Holocaust that had taken place in 1939. So we're very grateful that we're in America instead of there.
What different neighborhoods did you live in the years that you went there?
That's a very good question, because we lived in beautiful neighborhoods. My father and mother loved to live well. So when we moved from West Baltimore Street, our first home, all the children were born and raised in the home on West Baltimore Street. Then we moved to Mount Washington, and I had a 16-year-old birthday party there, which was magnificent. Then we lived at 3340 Clifton Avenue, where Charlie Wraith, a very prominent real estate man, had built this home for himself. The home is still there, and the French doors leading out to a beautiful patio lent itself to parties, and I would have parties asking my guests to dress formally in evening gown and tux. The boys would come in tuxedos. The girls in evening gowns, and we'd have music, and we would dance on the patio and the porch, and we'd have beautiful refreshments served. And the parties were known all through my years because they were very memorable. And during my friendships, while living on West Baltimore Street, the Alperstein family would have a get-together every Saturday night there, one Saturday night, the following Saturday night at my home. The people that came to these parties are today very prominent. There was Dr. Milton Kirsch, Dr. Abe Kremen, Dr. Joe Blum, Jack Blum, the attorney, labor attorney today, and Ms. Dr. Mara Shriver of West Baltimore, a pharmacist by the name of Isidore Saslaw, who has since passed away. And of the women, there was Dora Davidson, Rose Morris, Ida Cohn, Betty Epstein. She was Betty Alperstein at the time. We had lovely group, and in those days, I'd play the piano, and the boys would play their instruments. A saxophone, another violin, and we'd dance. I was an excellent dancer, and we would be the center of attraction when we dance. We'd go to dances and win cups for dancing. We'd go to the Madison Avenue Temple on Madison Avenue. We belonged to clubs. That was our, after I was 16 years old, I was always president of a club. I was a leader.
What languages did you speak at home?
We spoke mostly English, but when I would go to my grandmother's, I learned Yiddish, and I can speak Yiddish very fluently. I love Yiddish, and it's a dying language, but I love it, and my brothers understand it, but none can speak Yiddish. My mother and father could speak Yiddish beautifully, but they would prefer speaking English so the children would be able to speak a good English. My mother, since she came here when she was 3 years old, she learned English very well. Never spoke a broken English.
Where did you shop for most of your ethnic foods?
Well, my mother used to shop at Holland's Market. She loved Holland's Market, which you know is one of the oldest, Lexington Market, and Holland's Market's one of the oldest markets.
What do you mean for kosher foods?
Well, she would call the butcher. She never went shopping. After, she preferred calling the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker and having her order sent in because it took too much time and effort to shop, which was very wise on her part, I think. And she knew the bills were a little higher, but it was worth it to her.
How did the family celebrate holidays or weddings or seders?
Well, we always had beautiful seders. When my grandmother lived, we always had them at her house. After she passed on, my mother had the seders, always at her house. And when she passed on, I would have the seders. We always had a beautiful seder. My father loved to conduct the seder. And I had an 84-year-old grandfather who participated in the seders. We kept up as much as the Jewish religion, as we were as pious as we possibly could be. I vowed that once I retired, I'd go to synagogue every Saturday, and I've been doing so. Since 1946, I haven't missed a Saturday at synagogue morning services. When we go to Florida, we go to the temple on Friday nights and Saturday mornings.
Now we're going to get down to your courtship. How did you meet your husband?
That's a very interesting question. Rose Morris, my dear girlfriend, had a sister named Kitty Morris. And she invited us to her cake cutting party the week she came home from her honeymoon. She married Sam Levin. And she called me at my store one evening and said, Lee, you must come to the cake cutting party. We had a small wedding, and you're one of my close friends, and I want you to come. I said, well, it's just before Easter, and we're very busy in our store. In those days, we were open till 9 o'clock in the evening, sometimes 10, 11, and 12 o'clock. I don't know if I can get away, but if I possibly can, I'll be there. She says, your brother Reuben is coming too, so he can bring you. I said, fine. He takes me to the party, and at the party, Phil Kramer is sitting in a corner, never getting up, and the handsomest man there, and I think when I looked at him, I just fell in love with him, but I didn't know how to get him to come out and dance. And I happened to be a good dancer, but his brother was there, and his brother and I were dancing. We danced the whole evening. And later in the evening, I walked over to the chair and sat on the arm of the chair where Phil was sitting, and we became quite acquainted. And he said, may I take you home? I said, fine. So I told my brother he needn't wait for me to take me home, that I had been asked to be taken home. He says, fine. Then he told me he didn't want to dance because he had just come off of his position at a pharmacy where he was working as a pharmacist, and he wasn't dressed or presentable enough. I says, you look fine to me. And his brother had picked him up and said, I'm not going to take you all the way home. You're going to the party with me, and I'll take you home after the party. And that's what happened. So he took me home, and he said, when can I see you again? And I said, well, not until after Easter, and that's about 2 weeks. My life was the business, and nothing could interfere with that business. After he left, I thought, my, that was foolish. Why did I tell him he couldn't see me for 2 weeks? He may meet someone else and never come or call me. But the very morning of that end of 2 weeks, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, he called and asked what time he could come to see me. And that's how the courtship started.
Where would a couple go, or what would they do while they were courting?
Well, he had a car, a little Chevrolet, that he and his brother owned, and we would go for a ride, and he'd take me out for a cup of coffee, and he said, one night he took me to the nightclub, I can't remember the name of it at the minute, we went to a nightclub on Fayette Street.
Yeah, I remember that.
I never liked to drink. I never drank when I was a girl, never liked liquor or any drinks. So I said, well, I'll have a cup of coffee. When the coffee came and he saw the check, he says, what? 25 cents for a cup of coffee? And I thought, my, that band's tight. But that didn't bother me because I didn't care. I felt I would always be able to afford a cup of coffee. I wasn't worried about that.
Where would you go for movies or dances?
Well, Phil was the kind of man that never liked to spend a lot of money. So I never suggested any places where he'd have to spend a lot of money. And I just liked being in his company. In fact, when he'd bring me home from a date, my mother always had some milk and a nice piece of pie. And rather than go out and buy it, we'd come into the kitchen and have our snack there. So after we met March the 27th, 1928. We had gone with each other from March until November. And then he said he'd like me not to go with any other boys. I said, well, I don't think that's possible because I have quite a few friends and I don't like to drop those friends unless I'm engaged. Well, by February, he wanted me to accept his ring, which I did.
How did your parents feel about that?
Oh, they liked him very much, and I didn't even ask because I knew I was in love with him, and I felt that he was in love with me. But I did have many boyfriends who had asked me to marry them, but I wasn't that interested. So I wouldn't drop the others until I was sure that he was serious, and he was.
Describe the wedding.
By the way, when Phil met me, he was telling me that he was making $30 a week as a pharmacist, as a graduate of the University of Maryland, and was working at a pharmacy at the time. So I told my father about this, and my father thought $30 was such a measly amount. He said, I know Phil would make a good businessman. I'd like to offer him $55 a week. Well, when I told this to Phil, he was tickled to death, and he came to work in our business and helped build the business up. The business would not have been half as successful in Frederick or Annapolis, Maryland, if Phil really hadn't worked those territories up for our corporation. The wedding took place at the Alcazar in 1929 on June the 23rd. We wanted to be married at the best to Philip, but the place had been taken at that time by Dr. Fetter. So we went to the Sheraton Villa on across the street from Drew Hill Park, and we were married there. Phil's uncle was a city librarian at the time, and he offered the flowers and all the plants that were in Drew Hill Park for the decoration of the synagogue and the Alcazar. The flowers and the greenery was simply gorgeous. All that was in that beautiful hothouse at Drew Hill Park was brought by truck to the Alcazar. And of course, the floors decorated the synagogue. We had 367 people at the dinner at the Alcazar, and the people we didn't invite to the dinner, and we invited for the reception in the evening, and there were 1,000 people in all at the Alcazar. It was the most beautiful wedding I had ever attended. That's the story of our marriage. We had a child in 1930, a daughter, on November 26th. She happens to be the light of our lives, I think. She's a beautiful girl, even today. And then 5 years later, we had a son. And I thought, we'll have the two and raise them properly. They were both well-educated, college graduates. Our son now is Deputy United States Attorney, and our daughter married a businessman who has a department store in Blair, Maryland.
How did the flu epidemic affect the family?
I'm glad you asked that. That flu epidemic was a terrible thing in our neighborhood. Very close, dear neighbors were died off. In one family, the Satitsky family, who had a grocery store, a few blocks away, lost two daughters within 24 hours. And we were all down with the flu, but luckily we all got over it well. Every one of us had it.
Did your parents do anything special to try to ward that off?
They did everything possible to ward it off. We happened to have a very good family physician, a Dr. Phillips. And of course, it was a terrible epidemic, and there was fear in everyone's minds that any home could have been stricken any day. But fortunately, we got through it all right. We were all fortunate, too, that no one was... my youngest brother was in the Army for 5 years, Henry, and he didn't go overseas. He remained as an officer in the Army, and later came into the business.
How did the depression of the 30s affect the...
We never felt the depression at all. That's a very good question. Because people who didn't have money or were affected by the depression used our business to buy their clothes and furniture on credit. We ran a credit business. And we sold everyone who had a good name could buy. And during the Depression, if they could not meet their payments or the amount of payments they promised to pay, we said, don't worry about it. We know you're honest, you're reliable, and when things get better and times get better, you will make up the payments that were lost. And that's how we prospered, because people didn't have money to pay cash. We did a tremendous business. We never fired a man or never lowered a man's salary who were employed. And we had many, many employees.
Did you notice any hardships amongst any of your friends?
No. We all were careful. Everyone was careful in shopping. Many people bought seemed to be prepared for the recession. We never felt it at all.
In the World War II, how was the family affected?
My husband didn't have to go. My brothers were either overage,
underage,
or overage, either one, or underage. But the youngest brother did go to war, and I had an uncle who was on the battlefield of France. My mother's brother was on the battlefield of France as a medic. He would carry in the wounded and the deceased soldiers, which was very sad. He enlisted when he was 16 years old, which was against the law, and my mother called Congressman Linklicum to have him sent back to America, and after he got back here, he re-enlisted. So we couldn't keep him out.
Did the bank holiday have any effect on your
business?
Yes,
the run on the banks had an effect. When we heard about it, we had the West End a building and loan was the bank we had been dealing with. And there was a run on the banks, which you couldn't help. That was the situation in those days. And I happened to have lost a lot of money because I had savings accounts in four or five different banks. And they all closed up, and in the end they promised 5% of your savings, but I never even got that.
Did the rationing of foods and services affect
you?
No,
that didn't affect us at all. We were all very careful. You had to be. No one went wild or bought more than they needed. But we didn't feel the depression.
What can you remember about the lower Parkhurst Avenue during the early 20s?
Well, truthfully, I don't know much about Park Heights Avenue because when we moved from Clifton Avenue, we lived with my mother for 5 years to save expenses. And as we saved money to pay down on a house, we lived in an apartment after the 5 years on Springdale Avenue, 3600 block. And then my parents moved to Garrison Boulevard. Is that right, Phil? 3509 Garrison Boulevard in a pink rancher. And they lived there for a while. Then they bought a home on Springdale and Denison. Beautiful duplex home. And then we bought the pink rancher and lived there for 31 years. Loved it. Forest Park then was a beautiful neighborhood. Beautiful neighbors, lovely place, until I had a break-in. Two Negroes broke into my home one night, and my husband was out, and I was all alone with two shotguns and held me up. And I never knew I'd have the nerve to do what I did. I learned when I was a child in school, a teacher had taught me that never show that you're afraid of a burglar or a dog. And I never even thought about such a thing growing up. But at that moment, I decided I wasn't going to be afraid or show that I was scared. So I put my two hands up and I said, just a minute. I said, you can have anything you want in this house. Just don't hurt me. I said, I have five grandchildren. I don't want to get hurt. You can have anything you want. So they said, well, go ahead. With their guns, they seemed to know the house. They must have known one of the employees, a maid in the house, and knew where I had my jewelry and money. And I only had enough money for the house that week, $55 for the maid and 40-some dollars for food money, and they pointed to the drawer that was locked, so they must have known where it was. And as I was turning the key, they were standing back of me, and I thought surely I'd be hit over the head, but I wasn't. Opened the drawer, and they took out the jewelry box and the money, put it in a shopping bag, and ran off. And then I called the police, but I never went back to that house.
Can you remember what Park Heights Avenue looked like in those days?
Not really. Not really.